Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here today. We have a few visitors with us. We extend a very warm and special welcome to you as our honored guests. We're glad that you came to worship with us. Have a couple of prayer requests that we will address before we get started in our lesson. One, Frank and Armita are both sick at home. They've got what's been going around lately, the respiratory stuff, the coughing and hacking like most of us have had, passing back and forth. We need to remember them. Also, Shannon has requested prayers for two friends of hers. One, kind of an update. She thanks all of us for the prayers for a friend of hers, Kansa Deal. She's left that abusive relationship. She's living on her own and is starting to heal from that, and is in a much happier and peaceful place. And Shannon thanks us, and I'm sure she does also, for the prayers and concern that we've shown. Also, Shannon has requested prayers for a friend of hers, Robert Grana, and his family. Robert's a firefighter, and is going through some mental stress and some emotional issues, and she is asking prayers for that he will get proper care and treatment, and wants us to go in prayer as a family on his behalf. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we will get into our morning lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you first and foremost for all the blessings that you do give us. Let us never overlook that wonderful, wonderful life that you've allowed us to have. Dear God, we ask that you be with Frank and Armita as they're battling some health issues. We hope that they're feeling better soon and will be able to be back and join us in worship. Dear God, we ask that you be with Shannon's friend, Kansa, that she will continue to grow and learn from the situation that she has been in, that she will get healthy and strong mentally, physically, and be able to go on with life from here on. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we ask that you be with her friend, Robert, and his family. We don't know exactly the issues that he is dealing with, but you do, God. In fact, we all have hidden things in each of our lives that you know how to deal with. And we ask that you be with Robert and his family at this time. Strengthen him. We appreciate the service that he gives to the community as a firefighter. Dear God, we ask that you are pleased with the worship so far, and that you be with the rest of our worship, that it will bring you glory and honor. Mm-hmm. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, it was brought up in Sunday morning class when we were talking about evangelism and so forth, a number of people brought up this idea. Why do some people stray? People that maybe have even been raised in the church, know the truth, and then sometimes drift away. I would like for us to look at a few examples of people that have done that in the Bible, and mainly for us to see that some strong people, God's people, have strayed, and to act as a warning for us not to do it.
Amen.
You know, the Bible is full. The world is full. Our life is full of warnings. Look both ways crossing the street. You know, things like that, not to touch a hot stove. You know, that only took me one time to realize. You know, I'm not the sharpest guy around, but it only took me once about the hot stove. But we have warnings in the Bible from God. From God. And a lot of times, you know, whether it's world's warnings or godly warnings, we need to make sure that we heed those warnings. A lot of times, how many people, they see that sign, wet paint, and they still touch it. It's almost like they're drawn to it. They see the sign. It's, do we think that the sign's lying to us? Do we think, oh, it won't be wet to me? We joke and we snicker about it. God has given us many warnings, and I am in no way able to judge an individual's heart why somebody strays. God knows. But I want us to look at some examples. Use them as warnings for us to hopefully that somebody else's mistakes can prevent us from going down some of those same paths. The scripture reading that Daryl read earlier was taken from Galatians 1, and I appreciate the kind of the backstory that Daryl presented, kind of made it a little bit more meaningful. But Paul would write to the Galatians, but also any of God's people that may stray or even think about straying. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And then it repeats it, gives it a double dose. Some people do stray. The Galatians, Paul is telling them, I'm surprised that you're straying so soon. It wasn't too long ago that you were presented with it, and you're already straying. In Deuteronomy, and this concept is not just New Testament. It is the concept of the Bible, that God wanted his people to follow him and not stray. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 32, it says, therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, but stay on that path. Don't veer. Stay on it. We had a lesson a few months ago about the right path. You can be on the right path and not be progressing. You're on the right road, but you're not going anywhere. You can be on the right road going the wrong way. So it's saying you don't turn to the right, you don't turn to the left. You be careful to do as the Lord commanded you. 1 Corinthians, Paul would write, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. I don't want to be like Wile E. Coyote going along thinking everything's fine and it always turns out bad for him. Always. We can learn a lot from cartoons. The Israelites and Aaron. The Israelites were God's chosen people. He saved them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and was going to take them to the promised land. Aaron, the brother of Moses. We can learn a lot from other people's mistakes. Let's look at some of the mistakes they made. In Exodus 24, it starts out and says, "Now he said to Moses," talking about God, "come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him." So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. I want to pause for just a second. God has never judged people in anything that he hasn't already told them what to do. If that's not being just, and God is just. He wouldn't be God if he wasn't. So Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." They have seen the glory of the Lord. They have been in bondage, and the Lord, they saw the plagues that God presented the Egyptians with. He delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. They crossed through the Red Sea. They've seen the power of God. And now Moses is telling them this, and they say, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." This is a proclamation. This is a statement and a kind of a vow that they are taking. We will follow what God has us to do. Goes on to say, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." Just in case you forget, I'll write them down for you. He arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Blood has always been required for sacrifice. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." They are saying this in front of each other. Everybody is doing it. We're going to be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you, according to all these words." Then Moses went up, also Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. but on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God and ate and drank. What an opportunity those individuals had in that. That they got to be in the presence and they saw the God of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. So far, so good. Let's jump over to Exodus 32, starting in verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. This Moses guy has brought us out of Egypt. He's gone up to the mountain. We don't know what's become of him. We don't know if he's dead. We don't know if he just kept going and has abandoned us. So Aaron, make us gods that we can follow. That's what they're saying. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. How long has it been? How long? They saw the working, the hand of God in their escape from Egypt. And because Moses was on the mountain longer than they thought he should be there, they're doing this. And Aaron is going along with it. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to pray. A little side note. They were sincere about this. Sincerity is not alone proper. You have to have sincerity, but sincerity alone without the knowledge of God and his authority, we're going to see how this goes. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Skipping over a few verses to verse 17. Then, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. And he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it into powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? This is not some way down the line Joe Blow. This is Aaron, Moses' brother, who got to see the presence of God. And his brother is saying, who bewitched you? Who fooled you? Who pulled the wool over your eyes, Aaron? How stupid do you have to be? Who did this? What did they say to you? How did you get hoodwinked so easily? How long have I been gone? That long. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. I don't know how it happened. We threw it in the fire and out jumps this calf. If you remember back a few verses later, Aaron carved it himself. Aaron's using the same excuses Adam and Eve did in the garden. Blame it on somebody else. What did you do? You know these people. You've been with them. They're stiff-necked. They can't be trusted. But what about you, Aaron? What did you do? Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. There is nothing wrong with discipline. There is nothing wrong with having restraints. I'm stepping out of being a preacher because there's no room for I think, I feel, in my opinion. But what I see in the world today, a lot of the problems go right back to people who are unrestrained. They want to do what they want to do. That's the root of so many of the problems we have in our culture today. They are unrestrained. That's the same problem Moses saw with the people and with Aaron. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him.
Amen.
Sometimes, what's that old saying? You got to fish or cut bait. Sometimes it gets down to this. They had been unrestrained. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother. every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Those that did not choose to side with the Lord, those people are going to kill you. Sometimes following Christ and following God has a high demand. It goes all the way back to here. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day, all because of disobedience. I find it interesting that here at this event, 3,000 died due to their disobedience. But then you jump ahead to the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were saved because they were obedient. I'd like to kind of close up with another example that was just mentioned, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, Moses' nephews. In Exodus 30, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet in water from it.' When they went in to do service to God, they were to cleanse themselves first before they offered up service to God on behalf of the Israelites. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations." And then in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." We do not know scripturally, or I don't. If you know, fill me in after the lesson. We do not know exactly what was profane about it. Was it the fire and the incense that they did wrong? Was it maybe from the earlier passages, did maybe they not cleanse themselves, and here they're offering this fire and God's not accepting it? It is profane because they didn't cleanse themselves. Don't know. Just a few verses later, it goes on to talk about, "And when you go before the Lord, you should not be drunk." Were they doing this in God's service, and they were doing it in the wrong way? They were trying to present themselves, and they were, I don't know. All I know, it's not the way God had wanted them to do it. Case closed. I'd like to go back. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. If Aaron's going to mess up, if Nadab and Abihu are going to mess up, if the Israelites are going to mess up after all that they had seen, after all that they had been the recipients of blessings for, and if they stumbled, what makes me think, oh, I can handle this. I got it easy breezy, God. Take heed, lest you fall. Why do people stray? I don't know. I don't know why each individual person strays. God knows. It appears to me, through Scripture, some of the reasons are human nature. We see it all the way back to Adam and Eve. Is it that some people just don't believe God at His word? Oh, God's a loving God. He won't condemn me for this. He wants my heart to be right. He'll slide on this or that. I don't see a lot of sliding with God in the verses we looked at. Now, there are verses about grace, which I'm glad we've got.
Amen.
But how much grace are we going to get if we're disobedient? Maybe some people, it's just not a priority. I'll follow God as long as I don't get a better offer. I will serve God as long as something late Saturday night didn't happen and I can't get up Sunday morning. I will serve God unless something else that I want to do more comes along on a Sunday. I will serve God unless it gets too hard at work in front of other people. Maybe some people get just distracted from the cares and the worries of this world. Raising children. The cares and worries of paying bills. It's easy to get distracted. Some people get discouraged. They see things. You think of Peter walking on the water, doing something that only one other person had ever done. And he had seen it right before he did it. And he's walking along on the water doing fine until the waves are hitting him in the face and he starts doubting. It all boils down to selfishness. Why do some people stray? They don't want to do what God wanted them to do. They want to do what they want to do. This is not one of those feel good, walking out of here like you've just watched the movie Grease or something like that, just all happy, you know. That's not one. This is one of those to kind of think about. Why do people stray? I don't know. I know I want to make sure I'm not one of them. I want to make sure to take heed that I don't do it and that you don't do it. You've got the outline. Maybe look over some of these verses again this week in your individual study. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there's anything we can do for you, we've offered up prayers on behalf of some of our members and so forth earlier. If you need prayers of strength, if you need to repent, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, you're not a child of God until you are in Christ and you get into Christ at baptism. If you need to be baptized, if you need to make a deeper commitment to God, if you're looking for a church home and have not identified, we don't add you to the church. The Lord adds you to the church. But if you'd like to be a permanent member here in this location, whatever your need, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Yes.